Disclaimer: the views and opinions expressed in Radio DMG may or may not be the views and opinions of the DMGI's family of sites. All music used in this podcast is the property of whoever made it, and no copyright infringement is intended. God bless this albatross, and hold on tight for the awesome you're about to receive.
It's good to be the king.
Hello, my captive audience. You're listening to Radio DMG for July 7th, 2011. I am your host, Philip Wesley, and we have a ninja-rific show for you today. I know that's not really a word, but let's go ahead and consider that for a moment. Anywho, today it's ninjas and all sorts of neat stuff. But first things first, here's what's on the agenda for the day. We've got newsity, a little bit of music, and then two interviews, actually. An interview that we did at Akon 22 with Vanessa V. Artiga, and then an interview we did at Akon 22 with Team Ninja. Well, three people from Team Ninja. I won't tell you who they are, I'll just let it be a surprise. It's quite interesting, actually. And let's go ahead and start with the newsity. We'll be right back in a little bit after this short introduction with, of course, our newsity theme. But before that, we're also going to have a little bit of a musical interlude. You see, I have taped a lot of music over the years and also made a lot of music for Radio DMG and, well, let's see, I did a little stint in actual radio for a bit as a salesperson, but being a salesperson in a badly created show meant that I had to go ahead and find the guests. I got to record many of the guests, so that audio is mine. Mine! So anyways, yeah, I have audio from that, audio from Akon, audio from E3, all sorts of audio, lots of music and stuff that I want to use, so we're going to go ahead and have a musical interlude thingy before we get the newsity theme. And so just hold on tight. It's going to be one hell of a show. Oh, it's going to be not safe for work, just so you know. NSFW for mild language. I figure anything above a PG or PG-13, yeah, you drop one F-bomb, we have to put the NSFW thing there. Not safe for work, and it's also very ninja-rific. This could be a reasonably lengthy show, so sit down, relax, grab a bowl of Cheetos or pretzels, pop your Dr. Pepper, grab your water, grab your tea, hide your wife, hide your kids. I don't know. But anyways, we're up here. This is Radio DMG. I'm your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth. And we're going to have a lot of fun today. So sit back, relax, and let me entertain your mind.
Like a dog, smell fresh air with my handcuffs on. It's a disposition known and never really listen. Why the hell you gotta make me wait so long? Couple hours of news, brick walls confused. My new homeboy's got nothing to lose. Play crossword puzzle, design tattoos. It's a brand new meaning of the blues, yeah. Oh yeah. Go. possession of weed and my first DV. And I was day three in the CJC. No, it's on me, but my girl hates me. If I had $1,000 and I'd be free. Can't smoke six and you can't smoke pot. Hide your prize items underneath your mattress. Read some boring books and learn a little Spanish. Gnarly ass soap and bunk ass clothes. A dickhead bash named Deputy Rose. You know I'd really, really like to tell you about the rest, but the story be told through checkers and chess and the stress. Boy, yeah. The wicked, wicked stress. Goes like this. Possession of weed and my first bounty. And I was day three in Jay County. No, it's on me, but my girl hates me. If I had $1,000 and I'd be free. Alright, switch me, boy.
Why in the hell are you listening to Radio DMG?
And welcome back to Radio DMG. Well, that theme there means that this is the Newsity. So, oh, by the way, I'm your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and I'm here all the time doing these. Sorry, H-Bomb. You're stuck with me. Ah, happens. Anyways, the previous tune was from... It was called 3 Days by Dope Fiend Willie, a former member of a group called Slaughterhouse Roots, which I'll go find there. I'll add it in the show notes or something. But yeah, I figured that the best way to counteract all the ninja-ness of this particular episode, the dead or aliveness and ninja-ness of this episode, would be to start it out with a song about smoking pot and going to prison. Of course. Anyways, let's bring up the Newsity. Check my notes. Let's start with the animation front, because that's interesting news. The following stuff was announced at Anime Expo, which was about a weekend or two ago. Oh, by the way, happy belated 4th of July and happy belated Canada Day. If you're a person that celebrates those. If you're not, well, whatever. Heh. Anyways, it's a great excuse to shoot off fireworks and scare the neighbor's dogs. Yes. Anyways, here's what was announced at Anime Expo. Well, Right Stuff, who's a sponsor of DMGIs, click on their banner on the main site. Go for it. And while you're there, why not also like us on Facebook? We've got like 40 followers. We could use a few more. Also, follow us on Twitter. Follow us on YouTube. Follow us on Flickr, that type of deal. Stalk us, please. Anyways, Right Stuff, who's a sponsor of DMGIs, and you should click through there and check out some of their stuff, announced they have Gazaraki, which will have the old ADV dub, Martian successor Nadesco, Teethy, plus the movie, plus the Geki Ganger 3 mini show from Nadesco. You know, the one that Guy watches. It's a weird little show. It's worth watching. Anyways, they also got the rest of the Dirty Pair OVAs, movies, and so forth. So if you're a Kay and Yuri fan, you're in luck. And one more note that I should probably throw in there. They also showed off a new bundle set for Victorian Romance Emma, which is an interesting show for people who like romantic stuff kind of set in weird colonial England times. But we're also sponsors of that. If you picked it up, like in first or second season, check the last disc of each season. And in the sponsors list, you'll find myself and DMGIce.com listed prominently in the credits. They're in alphabetical order, and my last name's Wesley, so we're in there, but we helped bring it over. So, you know, yeah. Funimation nabbed Bigata HK, which they're calling Yamada's First Time. It's about a girl who's obsessed with sex. Yeah. The other one they got is Asobi ni Iku Yo, which they're calling Cat Planet Cuties. And the only one that they announced that isn't some kind of weird pervo fantasy is Last Exile, Fam, The Silver Wing. And that sounds like it'll be cool, because I liked Last Exile. It was a pretty good show. Aniplex announced that they have Puella Magi, Madoka Magica, and Blue Exorcist, both of which are really awesome shows. Viz Media announced more Bleach, more Naruto, and uncut Blue Dragon. And I know you're just absolutely thrilled by that, but stick with me for a moment. Their other big announcements were September 20th, the latest Pokemon movie, the one with Zoroark, will be coming out on DVD September 20th for your purchasing joy. And then, of course, they also announced that they licensed Professor Layton and the Eternal Diva, which will be getting a new dub, not the same dub that it had in Europe. So we're getting a brand new dub for this one, and it'll be out in the fall. My guess is it'll be out around the same time as the fourth game. So it's going to be a great... this is going to be a great fall for puzzle games and such. I mean, during the summer, we can pick up... Professor or Dr. Lortic and the Hidden Knights or something like that? I'm trying to remember what the name of it is. It's Forgotten Knights or something like that. It's that one from Konami that's kind of Layton-esque. I think I will definitely pick that up because there's a trailer for it on the eShop and it looks great. Also, it'll whet my appetite for for Professor Layton and the Last Spectre and Professor Layton and the Eternal Diva. So it's going to be a great, mid-late summer, early fall for people who love puzzly games. So save up your pickerettes for both Professor Layton and the Last Spectre and Professor Layton and the Eternal Diva. I've already seen it several times, thanks to the magic of fan subs and piracy. But, oh yes, day one, I'm purchasing that day one. And so should you. It's a good movie. And as long as the dubbing works on it, as long as the dubbing's like the game, I think it'll be worth owning on DVD. Remember, Canada and Mexico are also the same region, so if you're stuck up in one of those places, or down in one of those places, go ahead and cross over the border and pick it up. We're good. It's good. Worthwhile. NIS America, who, by the way, aside from publishing... all sorts of printy related stuff, and for publishing Cave Story 3D, also publishes anime. They got Dororon Enmakun, which I don't know, and then Kimi ni Todoki, which is one of those dramatic romantic things, kind of like a active as Toradora, closer in terms to things like Paradise Kiss or Nana or Beck. So it's that type of show, and it should be pretty good. I'll probably try and pick up one of those, actually, Kimi ni Todoki. I think I saw the first two episodes of that fan sub, and I was like, yeah, I will buy this. Yeah. Anyways, on to the video game front of this. On the PSP front, we've got horribleness, meh, blah, yuckiness, ew, grossness, all sorts of horribleness, ugh. 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 Just bad. Just, ugh. And yeah, so anyways, they don't release much for the system, and it's just, it's dead. I'm sorry, the PSP is dead in the United States. But it's kind of holding its own against the 3DS in Japan, thanks to the magic of Monster Hunter and constant releases for it, but it's barely holding on to it. It's slowly slipping. Slowly slipping Sony somehow seems so sad. Slowly slipping Sony seems so sad. Pathetic PlayStation Portable purchasing, perhaps. Okay, whatever. Anyways, it's kind of bad. And they've also decided to stop supporting the comic store on the PSP. You know, I liked the comic store. It gave me an excuse to support a lot of these artists that I've already supported in other ways. I mean, I was buying every issue of Bone that came out, and I was looking forward to the second volume of, like, some of the graphic novels there. I bought, we did an interview with Peter S. Beagle, and I'll mention, we'll have that up soon. That'll be another episode, but I bought The Last Unicorn on the PlayStation Comic Store. I supported the PlayStation Comic Store. I've got a ton of stuff from it, because I actually looked forward to their free samples. Those helped me actually find new stuff I liked. There's some pretty good stuff on that. I don't think I ever would have really picked up Neil Gaiman's Thief of Always if I hadn't been there on the PlayStation Store. I hadn't thought, ooh, I like this guy. I hadn't been paying much attention to it. The comic store got me back into comics, and then Sony decided to go ahead and cancel it. So, fuck off, Sony. Yeah, there we go. I earned our Not Safe for Work rating. Yeah. I like comics. I like my free comics on Wednesdays, and I like purchasing digital comics as well, because I read digital comics. Most of the time, when I see real comics, I don't want to have to buy two so I can read it. Those are collector's items. Digital comics are something I would read, something I read, and I like those. And Sony, you're jerks. Anyways, on the 3DS front, Nintendo's getting sued by some podunk company over 3D screens which Sharp manufactures and owns a patent on. Every time. People are like, I filed an abstract patent for having four controllers attached to a system that also had wireless controllers. And I'm suing you because, you know, the Wii has those. The N64 had that a long time ago, before the Wii. Anyways, people just sue. Some little company. I'm not even bother or, with naming them, because I don't think they're worth the time to name. Hopefully the courts will take care of this quickly and all that, but yeah, some companies like, we feel that this technology that Nintendo is using for the 3DS, even though it's existed far before our patent was filed, it somehow infringes on our patent, which we filed in 2003, but weren't awarded until 2008, despite there being existing product that had the same exact functionality, or even better functionality, in as early as 2001. Of course, Nintendo is always sued when they start becoming successful, so this is only a good sign. Which, the 3DS is actually starting to do well in Japan again, as games like Ocarina of Time and Tales of the Abyss start hitting shelves. Excellent. On the controversial side of things, if we want to talk about, like, the... Well, everybody's talked the whole Capcom thing to death. With Resident Evil Mercenaries. My opinion on it was, I've seen games where you can't delete your saves before, and it's, doesn't bother me. I think people were just wanting to make a big stink about something. Considering BlazBlue, Continuum Trigger for the 3DS does the same exact thing, but nobody raised a huge stink about it. I think what happened was, I like Tiny Cartridge, but they put out the little picture, they put out the news story for it, and it was picked up by the news aggregator sites like Reddit and Dig, and then blown completely out of proportion. It was nice that Tiny Cartridge mentioned it, because that's what they do. They're a good site, and they're good people, and they mention these things. But I think the overreaction to it all over the place is just kind of disgusting. Because, well, okay, yeah. Oh no, I don't have a way to delete my save. Yes, you do. You can go buy like one of those little $24 memory backup things and go ahead and use that to back up your save. I had one of those. I had one for the Game Boy called the Mega Memory Card. I used it to back up saves because, hey, you never know. I liked having a copy of my Pokemon saves, so if anything ever happened to my original thing, I would have my team. And the new ones, all these new little memory things like that, let you transfer that to a computer. So why not go pick one up? If it really, really bothers you that an arcade-style shoot-em-up like Resident Evil Mercenaries only allows you to have one save that you cannot delete because they allow you to go online and have your own little trophy support and all this other jazz, because they want to keep that unique. That's like, you know, how you can't transfer your save from one Wii to another in Animal Crossing or Super Mario Kart or a couple other Nintendo games. But nobody really raised a stink about those because they didn't think about it. Unfortunately, in today's information age, a lot of stuff gets blown way out of proportion. So that's what happened. Okay. Now let's get on to, well, I guess the eShop. Well, the eShop did update today, and we got Quicks and Fortified Zone. There's a review of Fortified Zone on DMGIce.com, and you should probably check it out before considering plunking down some money for it. And for those wondering, we did also update the download guide, the old DG, the download guide, which it should be in your favorites already on your 3DS and in your favorites already on your PSP or on your iPad 1, 2, Google thingies, tablets, whatever. Anyways, bookmark it on your 3DS because it's worth holding on to because we give you all sorts of wonderful information. But yeah, that's pretty much where we are in the newsity. We're going to go ahead and do our first feature, which is an interview with Vanessa V. Ortega. And yes, after that, we're going to have a quick little bit of news here. Then our second feature, which is a interview with select members of Team Ninja. And then after that, we'll probably do a little bit after that, like, you know, a little bit of afterglow. And then that'll be it. That'll be the end of the episode. But until then, yes, our first feature of the evening starts now. And welcome to Radio DMG. I am your host, Philip Wesley. I am here with
Vanessa Ortega.
And Vanessa Ortega is considered the best female player in Dead or Alive. You're going to be on, what's the name of the show?
Past Shows?
No, well, the season 2 thing.
Of Ultimate Game, it's World Cyber Games Ultimate Gamer season 2.
So World Cyber Games season 2. No problem. But yes, let's start with a little bit of an introduction on yourself. How did you start into gaming?
I started gaming when I was about 5 years old. So my brother was actually my main person that I'd always play with because he had a Nintendo. He had pretty much every system you could probably get at that time. And I was the younger sister by 2 years. So he didn't have many like childhood friends because we just didn't have kids around our neighborhood. It happened later, but then I got axed. But he had me to play with, so he just started throwing controllers at me, and I started off just smashing the buttons like a total noob, and then I just started actually playing it seriously. So I'd have to say my brother's the one that got me into it.
What would you say your first game was?
If I remember correctly, my first game was probably Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for Nintendo, the original Nintendo, so the little side scroller.
Oh.
So I remember that the most because it was like I was probably 5 years old.
I'm sure it was pretty tough, huh?
Yeah, actually, I remember the most the second stage when you get to Bebop and Rocksteady, and I couldn't beat them because, you know, like I was just pressing buttons and they would always just smash me into the wall, and I'm like, man, why are they winning against me? But.
Yeah. So, how did you get into professional gaming?
Think about it. I started playing Dead or Alive 2. I've always liked playing fighting games, so I wasn't really playing it with the intention to go professional. I just played it for about, say, like 5 years straight. That was like the only game I would play, and I would play it for hours and hours upon end until finally there was an online version of DOA 2. And so I actually started playing against other people, and then I started wondering if, like, how good am I really against like everyone else? And so there were starting to have tournaments pop up, so I would go to a few of them. And then, you know, I started doing well, and then I just kind of got addicted to just the experience of competing. And from there on, it just progressed into what it is today.
So, where do you think you're going to be going with that after, like, season two of
Ultimate Gamer?
Yes.
Well, so Ultimate Gamer was more of a reality show in terms of it wasn't really to broadcast professional gaming. Since a lot of the contestants were really good at one specific genre, where this in this show, there's a racing game one day, fighting game next day, shooting game that way, and there's no way that everyone's going to be good at every single game. You have to be kind of like, just overall all-rounded, be versatile in all those genres. So, and for me, it's more of I like to play fighting games, specifically DOA, so that's my professional game, whereas the other ones, you know, I suck balls at racing, so I'm not going to lie about that. So that was just more of a fun experience for me.
So it's more Big Brother than one of those competitions like they do for StarCraft 2 or so in Korea.
Right. It's not all just, you know, the top StarCraft players against each other. It's just kind of like, okay, you're a good gamer all around. Let's see how you do against all other pretty good gamers all around. And you're going to get to that weak spot where you're going to be in trouble.
And they just kind of attack that for massive damage.
So, yeah, and then, you know, it's an elimination-based show. So, say, you do the worst of the day, and there's a real-life challenge, and then there's the gaming challenge. So, the real-life challenge actually is really important. It's almost equal on par to how you do in the gaming room. So, they combine your points, and if you're on the low spectrum, you go, again, head-to-head against someone in, like, a death match. So, and the person that loses goes home, and the person that wins gets to go back, and the whole process just repeats until the end.
So in the future, are you looking for more, going to be on more reality game shows, or are you going to go to the more merchandise side of professional gaming, similar as you say, Fatality?
I said, well, I'm not really specifically trying to get more into reality show. The reason I did the reality show because it had to do with gaming,
yeah.
You know, because I like gaming, so I'm not going to, you know, be on Survivor. No, it's going to be just more.
Or The Amazing Race or something.
I'll probably puke my guts out when doing that one. But I'd say, you know, I like to compete, but, you know, Fatality is pretty much what every gamer aspires to be like because he's defined the success of a professional gamer. He competed, he won, and he turned it into something that's just more than winning. He has his own corporation, and it's just, you know, every gamer would aspire to be like him because he's still considered one of the best in the world.
Okay. So, what other games aside from, like, actually, I'm going to ask you a couple strategy questions on Dead or Alive, because Dead or Alive Dimensions came out recently.
Right.
And, like, what characters do you pick the most when you go into Dead or Alive?
Oh, that's a trick question, because I pick a lot of characters.
Like, what character would you say you're the best with?
Well, I'm known for just picking Hitomi, so I would just go with Hitomi.
So Hitomi.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Any combo suggestions or anything? We're just trying to pry your mind so we can defeat you. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, combos for Hitomi. Hitomi's had a few changes. Back kick kick is one of the new changes that she has, and I've noticed it's a pretty good setup, and it actually gets people a little frustrated because they're not used to that new string, so they just are like, what the heck is this? And for just a combo, this game is just mostly about launchers. The stun system has changed to the point where you have to try to stun launch as fast as you can, and there's a 3-point hold system, so it gets really sketchy. You don't have a lot of options in terms of launch, and most mid attacks are the main bread and butter for launching. So it really throws into more of a mind game of, are you going to launch me or are you going to throw me? Mm. So with Hitomi, you just gotta... She's always been an aggressive character, so for Hitomi, the best tips for DOA dimensions. Screw it, just launch them and punch, punch, punch.
Pretty much. Yeah. I've noticed that with dimensions, it's a lot more where you find that you'll be hitting back in the and the block button a lot for mm-hmm. that, so you can grab and throw people.
Right.
It's got a lot of parry system to it, mm-hmm. which is pretty good actually. I kind of like that one.
Okay, yeah.
So do you have a 3DS yet?
I've been playing my boyfriend's 3DS.
She just swiped it.
Yeah, I just swiped it because I'm always around him. But I'm trying to get one of my own, but I want a pink one.
Ah, there's a red one that just came out that just got announced in Japan. That'll be out in July or so.
Oh, really?
So we're hoping it'll come out to the U.S. as well. That should be interesting.
See, I know I want either a pink or a purple one, but if all else fails, I'll get a black one.
Well, there's always that.
Yeah, there's always black. Go back.
Did you follow any of what happened at E3 this year?
Yeah, I was actually at E3.
Oh, so did you get to play the Wii U?
I didn't. Oh. It was like, I saw so many interesting things, but I didn't want to wait in line for an hour for every single thing.
So you didn't get to play the Wii Ultra or Wii U.
No. But I saw it looked really nice. I mean, I saw the Zelda preview, and it looked really, really, really nice. And the controller and the little screen. And so I'm really excited. I'm going to definitely check it out when it comes out.
So what did you get to check out at E3 this year?
I checked out Ninja Gaiden 3. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome. I thought I was going to have nightmares of blood for the next 2 days. And I saw Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City. I'm a big Resident Evil fan, so I was totally psyched to see that. Dead Rising 2, I have an obsession with zombies.
Oh, zombies are great.
Yes, zombies are amazing. So I loved seeing Dead Rising 2. I mean, I checked out a little bit of Capcom versus Tekken. It looks pretty interesting. It looks funny because it says that it plays more like Marvel versus Capcom, but it looks a lot like Street Fighter. So I'm just like, oh, wow. Really?
So it's a little bit more of a button mashy type down, down, toward, then all three buttons, just like.
If that's what Marvel versus Capcom is, then yes. It's
pretty much. that's pretty much. It's one motion and three buttons.
I mean, it looks nice, though. I mean, I definitely want to give it a try. But
did you get to check out the PlayStation Vita?
I checked it out. I mean, I looked at it. It looked really neat.
So, what do you think of the screen on that?
I just saw it. I didn't see it. Like,
I didn't get to play through it.
I could probably count it on my hand how many things I actually got to try. I mean, I was waiting to try even just like the Kinect football because that looked kind of neat. No. Battlefield 3? No.
Modern Warfare 3? Nope.
No. Because it's funny, because we even, like, my friend had a VIP Battlefield badge, so we're like, oh, cool, we get to go to the front of the line. He's like, no, you need an EA VIP pass.
Oh.
And he's like, so what do I get with this? You get to stand in line.
Oh.
I was like, then what's the point of the VIP pass?
I think for E3, they should create, like, we're doing standing in line 64. That's a new game.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
Give people E3 experience.
I know, and even I was like, whoa, this looks like a Disneyland ride or something, because it just like loop around right here, and that's the beginning of the line. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. But yeah,
so how many anime conventions have you actually been to?
I've been to Acon for the past 3 years, I think.
3 years.
Mm-hmm. And I went to YuleCon, and I think another one was G-Con. I think maybe around 5.
Well, we do ask a lot of people the same question, so I'm gonna go ahead and you have to be sent through this one too.
Okay.
What's your best experience that you've had at a convention?
The best experience, I'd say, the best experience I've had at a convention was the first Econ I went to. It was a big DOA tournament, and there were just so many DOA players and the atmosphere, and I got to actually just check out, you know, all the merchandise, and there was a little party at the site. I mean, everything was just, like, so much fun. And it's funny, because we went to the theater because there was a long line, so we were thinking, oh, this must be, like, a pretty cool movie. So all three of my friends went inside the theater. It's really dark, and it's a whole bunch of anime scenes are playing out. So all of a sudden, we realize it's a hentai. And so all three of us are just kind of, like, mouths open, like, what? And then just, I'm not going to get into the details, but we just got out of there pretty fast. I'm like, What did we just see right now?
I think that was the year that they had, let's see, I think they started with Bible Black that year.
I think that was what it was.
It's like, oh, it's something with school, with kids in a school, and ah, oh, what's that?
And that happens. Like, yeah, it's like, oh, these cute little school girls. What? That's how we got out of there pretty fast.
So was that, would that also be kind of like the worst experience of that or so? Or
no, it was just more, it was hilarious because we just weren't expecting that. So we were just kind of
there's like suddenly.
Yeah, it's just like.
Suddenly hentai.
Suddenly, and then we're like, girls can do that. Okay, we're out of here. Yep. But no, it was definitely one of the best experiences. It's just on the fun and funny factor of that, and just spending all my money on like little plushies and everything. I still have a bunch of plushies. I'm like, I can never use this in real life, but I still like
You're like, oh, gotta have this panda or something,
it's
right?
Like, yeah, it was. I didn't even know what the character was. It was a little bunny with a little red ruby on its head, and it was a backpack.
Oh, it's a Mokuna.
Is that?
It's from Magic Knight Ray Earth. It's a clown show.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, so I remember. I see. I know it's from Magic Ray, but I didn't know what the character was called. But it was so cute. I had to have it. And of course, I got like Sonic keychains and Sephiroth keychains and a bunch of keychains that I don't even think I have anymore.
Well, you just put them all in the same thing. You'll find out it ruins your transmission when you plug it into your car.
Like, oh,
it's from the weight.
Yeah, but I had so much fun though.
Have you, as a professional gamer and also as a member of the female population, mm-hmm. Have you met any type of adversity or discrimination because of that?
I don't think I've ever had anyone had a problem just like talking trash just solely for the fact that I was female. Because most of the time I was playing online, I first started getting heat because they thought I was good at the game, and they'd be like, oh, you're lying, you're not a girl, because I didn't have a mic at the time online. So automatically people thought I was just pretending to be a girl, and I wasn't good, and I even got accused of working for Tecmo once, and I'm like, no. I finally got a mic, and then I just actually started getting involved with the community, and, you know, they got that respect because, you know, you're not talking trash. Like, with me, I'm more of a reserved, I'm more of a good sport about things, so I like having fun, you know, fun badgering back and forth, but I will never outright just insult somebody just for losing.
Well, not the whole Xbox Live experience.
Yeah, so, you know, there's sore winners and sore losers, so I've always tried to be, like, respectful to the point where I will always try to shake your hand or give you a hug at the end of the match, and I will never just, you know, start bashing somebody, but if you talk trash to me, I will talk trash back to you.
So what's the most interesting trash talking that you've ever had to experience or be a part of or deliver?
The most memorable for me is I was playing a challenge match for the TV show I was doing, and this person was just talking a bunch of trash to me while I was on stage, and you kind of listen, but you try to tune it out because you're concentrating on the game, and I was fighting my friend there, and he was just kind of supporting her, which is good, but he was downplaying me, so I was just kind of like, all right, this guy's getting on my nerves. And he's like, you're garbage, you suck, this girl's gonna take you down. And then eventually when I finally just like win the match, and I'm just like, you know what, you're trash. And he kind of shuts up for a while. And he's like, I can't believe you said that to me. I'm like, what do you expect? You're talking trash. Why would you expect that person not to retaliate? So that's just one of the more interesting things that I've ever had to like deal with in terms of trash talk, because why would you be shocked?
No.
Don't do it in the first place if you don't want to hear it.
Yeah. I think, trash talking is essentially, like, false criticism. How do you think people should handle, like, well, the difference, people have a tendency to not discern between false criticism and real criticism. Mm-hmm. What is your advice for our listeners on the best way to take both false criticism and real criticism?
I think everybody has their sore spot. So especially when you take this competitively, if you get criticism, you're like, no, you're wrong, you're full of crap, and I'm the best. But you got to get over the mindset of, okay, not everything you're doing is right, and some people are genuinely that are better than you are trying to give you some more tips to improve your play style. But I think more people are just so prideful because they do compete for money, so they obviously think they know what they're doing. So you got to kind of have to put your pride aside and listen to some tips that people actually have to do. I mean, if they're like, oh, you're fucking garbage, stop countering, okay, you're not gonna listen to that guy. But if you do this setup this way instead, you might get a higher launch, then you should probably listen to that. So you gotta just kind of keep your mind open, filter out the people that are just talking trash to you, and listen to the ones that are actually just genuinely trying to help you get better and improve your play style.
How do you deal with, like, I know that not every time you go into a tournament, you're going to win.
Right.
How do you deal with losing?
Losing is probably the hardest part, because especially since if the tournament's still going on and you're already knocked out, what the heck are you going to do for the next hour or so? Hold on just a sec, sorry. Let me turn that off. Well, the thing about just losing, it's you went all this way. You're expecting to at least win or do well, and if you lose, you just kind of take it personally because you're just like, man, I wish I'd have done better. But you still can have fun, and you can still support your friends. So that's what I do. If I get knocked out early, then I'll just, you know, if I'm with, you know, my friend Susie or my boyfriend, I'll just be like, come on, get first place or something. So you can always just be a support system for them.
Yeah, it's a little tough these days, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes, because we all want to exceed. Yeah. And when we can't, it kind of hurts.
Yeah, especially since if you had your mindset on, like, yeah, I'm going to do so well in this tournament. And if you don't, you're just kind of like, well.
Yeah, dealing with disappointment is it's a part of life. And I've also noticed one thing. Actually, with these anime conventions and such, I've noticed that there's a lot of people who are very, very open and exuberant and outgoing at conventions. But outside of conventions, they're very shy and reserved, kind of almost antisocial.
Right.
Any suggestions on how people can take that energy and exuberance that you feel in, say, competitions or anime conventions out into the real world?
So, well, I could probably speak from personal experience from this one, because I myself am not, you know, super outgoing, like, oh, what's in your face type of person. So, and I notice a lot of these people too, they're in their comfort zone here, because they're with a lot of people with the same interests, so they can just talk, you know, if they talk about Bleach and Yu Yu Hakusho, they're not going to be like, what the heck are you talking about? All these people are like, yeah, did you see episode 23 or something like that? So they're but what I would suggest is, you know, just take that confidence that you feel and just take it to the outside world. I mean, you don't have to talk about anime or video games or something. You just apply it to, like, normal everyday things, and you're like, you know, they're not going to judge you for talking or speaking your mind. Like, I've noticed that most people would just engage you, where I was more like, oh, I don't even know what to say, or I'm just going to keep quiet, which is fine. I mean, you could be quiet. You don't have to be the life of the party. Nobody expects, if everybody was the life of the party, I mean, that'd be kind of boring anyway. So you can just do your own put and just build up your confidence, and you can just do one step at a time. Just talk to somebody new every day and just see, especially if you overhear them say something that's similar to your own interest, and you can just be like, oh, hey, you know, I checked that out too. What'd you think of it? So it's just easier to just, you know, apply it to real life and just talk to other people.
Just kind of keep listening first, that type of thing. Be a good listener first.
Listen first, and then you can steep your way into the conversation, and then, you know, maybe that person will be your best friend 2 years from there.
So, when you mentioned that you started gaming around age 5 or so, so I'm kind of picturing that, like, out there in California and stuff, you were a little bit of a tomboy.
Yes.
A little bit. Any interesting stories? Like, did you like climb trees or go out play and stuff? Were your parents?
Yes, yeah, so I did climb trees. I never got hurt, but the actually funniest part about that was I was actually on a trampoline. And I was just jumping off, and I'd always, like, get hurt because I'd jump really high or I'd fall on the ground. So I tried to do, like, a backflip or something. And so I ended up landing wrong, so I landed on my arm. So my whole body weight just crushed my arm. And so I'm like, ow, Dad, I think I broke my arm. He's like, ah, you're fine, it's a sprain. So I'm walking around like this the rest of the day, and like that. I don't want to put pressure. And my mom's like, what the heck happened to you? I'm like, I fell and I sprained my arm. She's like, we're going to the hospital. Turns out my arm was broken in two places.
Oh.
So my mom was like, you didn't even take her to the hospital. And he's like, well, I thought it was sprained. I think she broke it. So I had a cast for about 4 months that. And then casts are horrible, by the way. I get super itchy.
Ooh. But at least everybody gets to sign it, and you get to tell people, oh, it was, we did this space jumping. That was it, yeah.
And then I landed on my arm like a moron, and I've completely destroyed my arm. But I'm glad I never broke my leg, because that looks a lot worse.
Yeah, but with this one here, at least apparently when it healed, it gave you super video game powers. That's your secret origin story.
I said yes, I'm like Spider-Man.
So yeah, of course. Well, we have to start wrapping this up a little bit more. But So where can we expect to see you in like the next year or so? In terms, what are you doing in the future?
Oh, that's a hard one because I don't even know what I'm doing in the future. I'm more of a for the moment type of person, so everything I have is kind of planned out as month by month. So I live more like month by month instead of planning for the immediate future or the far future, which is kind of bad. But right now I'm just working another 9-to-5 job, and I try to go to as many events as I can because I love Dead or Alive. I mean, that's my heart and soul right there. I love that game, so I love to support it when I can. I mean, there are times when I can't make certain tournaments, like say if they're in New York or in the East Coast or in another country, because I don't have that kind of income anymore.
Yeah.
So I can't go to everything, but I try to do the best I can to support it, play it, buy Tecmo products, and you know, it's just whatever tournaments I can go to, I look forward to going to.
Okay. And any last words for our guests, and sorry, for our audience?
I said, well, if you guys are in ACOM, be sure to check out the Dead or Alive Dimensions tournament and the Dead or Alive 4 tournament. And we also have other fighting games, so if you like any other type of fighting games, feel free to go to the game room. And there's also a Ninja Gaiden 3 demo trailer, so if anybody, or it's playable, actually. So if anyone's interested at all in Ninja Gaiden, I played it. It was awesome. Be sure to check that out. And, you know, ACOM is always a great event, so it's definitely worth checking out at least once in your lifetime.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you for your time today. And this is Philip Wesley, your host for Radio DMG, and
this is Vanessa Ortega, DOA player.
V. Okay, and good night.
And that's how it went down. Anywho, I am your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and wait, there's more. So before we get into the second feature, in fact, we're not going to play the feature theme again. We only can play it once this episode. Instead, I'm going to play a track off of the brand new OC Remix album, Lucid Dreams. It's a bunch of awesome remixes of music from Nights into Dreams, which made a brief stint on the Game Boy Advance in the form of a Phantasy Star Online downloadable thing. And wow, Nights would be amazing on the 3DS, I think. Much more than it was on the Wii, because the 3DS is a better system than the Wii. So anywho, enjoy this song called She Has Angry Pixels, and that we'll follow that up with our other featured interview, which is Team Ninja, and it's going to be great. But yeah, check out the OC Remix album, Lucid Dreams. It's worthwhile. It's totally great. And if you don't really want to listen to music, too bad. But why not use these minutes to go refill some snack bowl or get something else? Go get maybe, I don't know, something to drink, something to do whatever. But be back here in about 2 or 3 minutes for the Team Ninja interview. I'm your host, and I'll see you after these features song things. Yes.
Riley, and you're listening to Radio DMG.
And welcome back to Radio DMG. I am your host, Philip Wesley, and I'm here with these members of Team Ninja.
Hi, I'm Peter Garza. I'm a localization producer.
Team Ninja producer, Hayashi Yosuke.
Team Ninja director, Shinbori.
Mm-hmm. And you guys have worked on, most recently, Dead or Alive Dimensions?
最新作が一番最新作が Dead or Alive Dimensions.
そうですね。
Yeah, that's right.
So, going into Dead or Alive Dimensions and using the 3DS's potential, do you feel that you met the potential of the 3DS with Dead or Alive Dimensions?
Dead or Alive Dimensions で 3DS のポテンシャルを極めたと思いますか？
まあ、こうやって 3DS のハードが出た直後のタイトルですけども、今3DS で紹介されている機能なんていうのはほとんど積極的に使えたと思います。まあ、もっともっと磨けばもっともっと光るハードだと思います。
As a launch window title, we think we have used the 3DS's capabilities, you know, as best as we could, you know, and used as many of them as we could.You know, there's always areas that we can brush up, and looking forward to the future of the 3DS, we can probably find new ways to use it. But for the timing, getting it with launch, yeah, we think we did a pretty full job.
Hmm. Also looking toward the future, are you looking into PlayStation Vita development or Wii U development?
PlayStation Vita か、Wii U の開発も、考えてますか？
まあ、デッドアライブの未来っていうのはいろんな可能性を考えていこうと思ってます。もちろんその新ハードも含めて検討していこうと思ってます。まあ、チーム忍者ではもう一つの柱の忍者ガイデンということを、まあ、Wii U に参入することも既に発表してますから、まあ、Wii U のハード自体はすでに我々自身で研究を進めてます。
In terms of Dead or Alive, we definitely feel there's a future for the franchise, and we want to, you know, think about all possibilities and think about the best way to develop the franchise moving forward. So definitely, there is a possibility. We have another title for Team Ninja. It's called Ninja Gaiden, and we've already announced that we will be developing a Wii U version of Ninja Gaiden.
How will you differentiate the Wii U version of Ninja Gaiden from the Xbox 360 and PS3 versions?
PS3 と360との差をどうつけますか？
Ninja Gaiden はですね、Nintendo DS の時代に1本 Ninja Gaiden ドラゴンソードというのを2008年出してるんですけども、まあ、今回 Wii U っていうハードをまあすごい面白いデバイスがついているので、まあ、そういった忍者ガイデン DS で我々が得た経験と我々のこのナンバリングタイトルっていうのをまあ合体させたものが Wii U では実現できるんじゃないかなと思って楽しみにしています。
So there was a title for the DS called Ninja Gaiden Dragon Sword, and that actually used the touchscreen for controls. And now that we're looking at the Wii U,it has, you know, a very interesting controller, and we are looking forward to being able to sort of merge the experience that we got from Ninja Gaiden Dragon Sword onto a full console version of Ninja Gaiden, and that's something that, you know, finding the fun in that is something we're really looking forward to.
Team Ninja has gone through a lot of changes in the last year with Itagaki.Leaving the company. How has this affected the development cycle and development philosophy?
Itagaki-san の退職について、まあ、に伴ってその開発スケジュールとか開発のスタイルとかどう影響しましたか？
デベロップのそのフィロソフィーみたいなものっていうのは、まあ、スタッフがほぼまあ8割方一緒なので、まあ、そういう意味だと大きく変わってはいません。ただその我々自身その過去を見つめ直して今を作ってますので、時とともに我々自身の価値観っていうのも変わってきてます。で、我々自身としては、しっかりと世界中の皆さんに遊んでもらえるゲームをっていうことを考えてますので、そういう意味で、これから出るタイトル、まあ、デッドライブ・ディメンションズもそうですけども、これから出るタイトルっていうのは、匂いは違うかもしれないですけど、皆さんに満足いただけるものっていうのはしっかり仕上げる、 自信があります。
The remaining staff, is probably about 80% still here. They've been making the series, working on both series for, you know, years. So the games that come out, might have a little bit of a different, feel, a different, you know, a little different flavor, but we're confident that they will be, you know, they're a good match for the fans, and the fans will feel like it's their favorite game. So yeah, the core staff is still there. They're making the games, and we want to now make games from our current staff, from Team Ninja. They still feel like a Team Ninja game. So we're pretty sure that fans will still find, you know, the gameplay that they know and love.
Mm. For the future of some of these franchises, are they looking into a Ninja Gaiden game for the 3DS?
3DS に向けて、Ninja Gaiden の展開を考えていますか？
まあ、我々自身は Ninja Gaiden というフランチャイズは Ninja Gaiden 3にフォーカスしていて、Nintendo 3DS の Ninja Gaiden というのはまだまだ正直我々の中でも構想段階です。うん、なので、まあ、こう Ninja Gaiden 3が終わった時にまたしっかりと考えていきたいなというふうに思います。うん、
Right now, the development is really focused on Ninja Gaiden 3. Mm. And so once that's done, we definitely want to think about the possibilities for the future of the series. You know, of course, the 3DS is a very capable piece of hardware, and we have Dead or Alive Dimensions on it. So that's something we definitely want to think about for the future. But right now, it's all hands on for Ninja Gaiden 3.
Mm-hmm. Now, on the Street Pass feature for 3DS, it allows you to play a ghost of another player. The Street Pass for Super Street Fighter 4 3DS was just a statue. Was there ever an idea of just doing a statue, or was it always to do a ghost?
Street Fighter で、デッドアライブ Dimensions ではそのゴーストのアバターを戦うんですけど、Street Fighter の方では、まあ、ただの、無理も、そのスタチュー、フィギュアだけです。まあ、これの、まあ、ドエッド・アライブ・ディメンションズの、開発とか企画のタイミングで、フィギュアだけで行くと思った時期とかはありましたか？もう、それか、もともとゴーストで戦わせたいっていう意思はありましたか？
まあ、ファイティングゲームっていうのは人と人とが対戦するゲームで、まあ、その対戦する機会っていういろんな入り口を用意したかったんで、そもそもストリートパスに関しても戦いをさせたいということがありましたので、今回ストリートパスはこのような仕様にしました。まあ、その全然自分のファイティングで遊ばずにスタチューだけじゃ面白くないでしょっていうのが我々からの答えだと思ってますんで、我々のストリートパスの方が皆さんに喜んでいただけると思ってます。
Fighting games are all about fighting another person. And so from the beginning we thought about the Street Pass feature as another means to fight another person. And so that's, you know, we'd always thought about it being a ghost or being, you know, some way for the player to fight another player. For us, you know, if you're just having figures fight on their own, that's not really a fighting game. So we think ours is a little more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We think we have the better Street Pass.
Yes. Have they looked into 3DSware or getting older titles from Team Ninja onto the virtual console on 3DS?
3DSware.とか、まあ、過去のデッドアライブゲームとかを、3DS ウェアとして展開するとか、そういうことを考えていますか？
まあ、我々のチームのその良さっていうのは、ハードコアなゲームをしっかりとそのボリュームあるものをそのお渡しすることだと思っていて、その3DS ウェアなんかもやっぱり1本ゲームを作るっていうのは非常にその労力としてはやっぱ同じようにゲーム1本仕上げるってことになってしまうので、我々としてはもっと大きなタイトルをこれからも作っていこうかなというふうに思っています。
Team Ninja's games are really focused on getting a hardcore gaming experience and getting a gaming experience that pleases, you know, those hardcore gamer fans. to make a 3DSware game from us would take, you know, everybody's much development effort as, you know, a full game. So we think it would be more useful and more valuable and worth more to the end fans to focus on a full a full retail product.
Hmm. Speaking of other retail products or retail products, how much input did Nintendo have on Metroid Other M with Team Ninja?
Metroid Other M を作った時に Nintendo からのインプットはどうでしたか?
あちらのタイトルっていうのは、まあ、任天堂と我々の共同開発ということで、進めています。まあ、どこからどこまでが任天堂で、どこからどこまでがチームNinjaっていうことではないですけども、ゲームのコンセプトと、あとしっかりとしたゲームの最後の形っていうのは、任天堂の、まあ、今回一緒にやった坂本さんという方の思いが非常に強く込められています。
Metroid Other M was really a collaboration title between Team Ninja and Nintendo. So it wasn't that there was a barrier between the two companies. We really worked together on that title. But in the final product, we think that the sort of the intentions and the desires of the Metroid creator, Mr. Sakamoto, are heavily reflected in the final game.
Mm. Okay, going forward with Dead or Alive Dimensions, what are your favorite characters from the staff?
じゃあ、このスタッフの一番好きなキャラ、デルワダイブディメンションズの一番好きなキャラとはどうでしょう。誰から。じゃあ、シンボリから。じゃあ、シンボリから。私は全部、全キャラクター使えますので。その中でもいないですけど。その中ですか。ゲンラ。ゲンラ。あの、鎧と、あの、はい。武器を持ったゲンラ。それどうしてですか。あ、ちょっと待って。
So Yoheishimori's favorite character is, well, he loves all of them. He's the director of the game, so he's got a love for each and every character. But if he has to pick one, then it's Genra. And why is that? So he's got, you know, he's got skills that only he has, you know, moves that are specific to Genra. He's got this weapon that's really strong, so he's a very unique character, a very strong character, so that's why his favorite is Genra.
Alright.
My favorite is Brad Wong. I love Drunken Style, so just a crazy character, the crazy moves. He's definitely my favorite.
で、私は、まあ、あの、どのキャラクターにも、あの、嫌われたくないので、全キャラクターが好きだっていうことを言い続けてるんですけど、まあ、あの、今回、スポットパスっていうので、まあ、我々の方から、あの、スローダウン用のキャラクターを配信してまして、あの、私自身のデータも配信するんですけど、まあ、そこで私の、あの、一番使ってるキャラクターが誰かがバレてしまいます。
So I also like, Yosuke Hayashi also likes the all the characters. Can't really pick a favorite, but using Spot Pass, we're sending out, you know, avatars, and you actually can fight Ghost Ada from the team itself. And if you pick up the Spot Pass character from Yosuke,
Hayashi P.
Yeah. So if you're on Spot Pass and you get a throwdown challenge from Hayashi P, that's from Mr. Hayashi, the producer, and you can see who he uses most in that Spot Pass challenge.
Mm, okay. Yes. I've had to play through quite a few of those, actually, from this convention. We had that top player, Vanessa or so. Yeah, I actually beat hers. She had Ryu, and I beat her. But yes.
Vanessa and Ghost.
Yeah, I beat her ghost. It was an A minus, and I'm my character's an F plus, but I still beat her. I used Alpha 152, so kind of, you know, overpowered character.
Congratulations.
Yes. Going through with Dead or Alive Dimensions, there's a lot of DLC for that, the downloadable content. How long are they intending to produce this content?
デドアライブディメンションズの、そのダウンロードコンテンツ、はい、結構ありますけど、どれぐらい続ける予定ですか？
現在は、32のコスチュームがある、34のコスチュームがあるんですけど、まあ、こちらの方を毎日配信してまして、うん、こちらを、まあ、はい、34種類配信終わったらもう1回ということで、あの2ヶ月今日あのまず配信し続けてます。そこから先っていうのはまだ未定ですけど、あの皆さんの声に従っていろいろ考えていきたいなと思います。
So we're actually、setting up new content every day、we have 34 costumes that we're going to be doing a different one every day、so that's a month, and if you miss the first month we'll repeat those 34 costumes again. So we have about 2 months worth of downloadable contentlined up, and、we will see the reaction from the content and the reaction from the fans, and if there's, you know, a strong desire for more、we will definitely look into making more.
Definitely looking for more、if there had been enough time, would they have liked to have put Samus, or rather Zero Suit Samus, in Dead or Alive Dimensions?
もし時間があったら、Zero Suit のサムスを入れたかったんです。
まあ、今回はデッドアライブの集大成という考えてたので、まあ、彼女はまあ一人であの宇宙を救えちゃうスーパーウーマンなので、まあ、彼女が入るとあの一番強いキャラクターになってしまうと思ったので、今回はあの彼女にはあのボール状態でだけ出てもらいました。
The Dead or Alive Dimensions is sort of a best of compilation for the Dead or Alive games. AndSamus is, of course, you know, like Superwoman that could save the entire universe. So if we put her in as a playable character, she could beat everybody. So for Dead or Alive Dimensions, you know, we really needed to keep her in just the ball form.
Ah.
Ball form.
The Ridley stage in Dead or Alive Dimension is really great. Were there other stages that were...designed before that one, like say Brinstar with Kraid, or any of the other Metroid locations?
まあ、メトロイドのロケーションに関してはこれだけだったんですか？
そうですね、あのとにかくやっぱりメトロイドの象徴となるステージを入れたいと思ったので、メトロイドで一番有名なライバルキャラクターである、まあ、リドリーが出てくるステージっていうのを今回コラボレーションさせていただきました。
So we wanted a stage that really represented Metroid, and you know, the Ridley stage is like the perfect、stage to do that.、so that was really our focus from the beginning, is to get that Ridley stage so that you know it's Metroid and it feels like, you know, that's Metroid.、Mm-hmm.
Going forward with the PlayStation Vita,、is there any plans currently to...Do you guys have a dev kit for the PlayStation Vita? Or anything you can talk about that? Well, what are your thoughts on the Vita? Just what are your basic impressions of the PlayStation Vita? And how it may help, help or hinder development?
じゃあ、PlayStation Vita 自体、そのハードに関しては、どう思ってますか？まあ、うちのゲームに関しては何かありますか？
あの、PlayStation Vita に関しても、あの、我々の会社ではすでに研究を進めています。その中であの我々がこれから考える未来にあのすごくフィットするタイトルがあれば積極的に対応していきたいなと思います。
So we do have、dev kits at our company、and looking forward、if we have a title that works well with the PlayStation Vita, it's definitely something that we want to consider、
mm-hmm.A lot of the consoles, the Wii, the Wii U, Xbox 360, and the PlayStation 3 have motion controls. Do you feel that motion controls add to the experience or make it a little harder to add to the experience? Do they add or detract?
Motion control に関してはその、ゲームプレイのプラスになりますか、それともそのマイナスになるんですか？
あのゲームデザインによるのかなと思っています。あのボタンを押すことで進める、一番それがあのフィーリングとしてかあのしっかり合うゲームデザインのゲームもあるでしょうし、 まあ、それこそダンスセントラルみたいにそれが一番ダンスするっていうことが一番ゲームデザインとフィットキネクトにフィットするゲームデザインもあるので、まあ、ゲームバイゲームという感じだと思ってます、
うん、So I think it really depends on the game design、うん、You know there are definitely going to be games that you have、that a button press is going to feel like the best kind of control for that game and then you're going to have games like Dance Central、thatIt works with Kinect and just feels absolutely natural because you're up there dancing and it gets recognized and it's just a perfect fit. So it's really game by game and to find what works with that particular game.、
Mm. When going into game design, do you design the game around the controller or around the gameplay concept first?
じゃあそのゲームデザインを考えるときに。まずコントローラーから考えるのか、うんそのコンセプトから入るのか、うん、どっちですか？
それもゲームによります。今回の例えばデッドライブディメンションズに関しては、まあ、ポータブルで楽しめる格闘ゲームというコンセプトでやりましたので、実は下画面の使い方っていうのは全然決めずに進めてました。だけどこの 3DS のタッチ機能とかを使った一番ベストなものは何だろうと、またリアルタイムに表示できるもので面白いものは何だろうという結果、こういう形タッチでデジタルインストというような機能を入れたので、まあ、作りながらそういうのは我々自身で考えていつもプロジェクトは進めています。
That also depends on the game、for example Dead or Alive Dimensions、it was designed for a portable consoleAnd that has two screens, so there was a lot of thought about what would work best on a portable console and how to use that bottom screen. And there was a lot of thought and design and rethinking about what would work best for this console to make a game for the 3DS, not just a port, but a game for the 3DS. And that's how we came up with the touch controls, the move list that shows up on the bottom screen. We thought that would bebe a really good fit for that particular hardware.
Now, also going on to, with the 3DS, when you select the title in the 3DS main menu, there's a spinning version of Kasume. When was it decided that Kasume should be the face of the game?
デッドアライブのタイトル画面でカスミのモデルをこう回ってるんじゃないですか。で、じゃあカスミがその看板キャラとして使うっていうのが、いつ決められましたか？どうやって決めたんですか？
看板
その、3DS の本メニューにこう回ってるんですか？で、あのモデルどうしてカスミにしたのか、いつからカスミになったんですか？
まあ、我々自身デッドアライブの象徴はカスミだというふうに思ってますね。彼女を、うんの彼女を中心としてデッドアライブっていうのは構築してますので、あそこにカスミが出てくるのは我々としてはすごい必然でした。
For us, Kasumi is the focus, the main character for the Dead or Alive series. She's always been, you know, the top person. She's always been the one that's out in front. So using her on the 3DS screen on the home menu was just the natural choice.
Mm.I've noticed in the story, the last chapter seems to focus on Helena a bit. Why go to Helena for the epilogue and not Kasume and Ayane and that story?
Chapter 4 は結構エレナにフォーカスしてるらしいんですけど、じゃあどうしてエレナにフォーカスした、カスミとかアヤネじゃなくてエレナにしたんですか？
今回のデッドアライブディメンションズに関しては、その各デッドアライブごとに主役っていうのを我々の方から決めて皆さんに触ってもらおうということで、デッドアライブ1、2、3、4ってそれぞれ主人公を変えた形でモードを構築しました。で、最終的に今回デッドアライブっていうのはドアテックという存在の、まあ、との戦いということなので、エレナが最後主人公になるのは必然だった。で、今回そういうふうに各シリーズごとに主人公は違うけども、デッドアライブのシリーズとしての顔はカスミっていうのが、デッドアライブの今回総集編としてはふさわしいのかなというふうに感じています。
So for Dead or Alive Dimensions, you know, it's sort of a best of, and we've taken the stories for 1, 2, 3, and 4 and put them all together in one package and one sort of cohesive story. But we wanted to allow people to have sort of a different main character for each portion of the story. So that's why, you know, in the course of the story, you're fighting against Doatek and sort of that rivalry or that fight. The main sort of character for that fight becomes Helena. So in each sort of in each section, we have a different main character. But for the series as a whole, and the events that take place throughout the whole series, we really feel that Kasumi is sort of the standout main character and sort of the face of DOA.
Mm-hmm. Which is why she's on the cover.
Right.
Yes. One thing that Dead or Alive Dimensions has had a little bit of trouble in Europe in particular, in I think it was Switzerland or Sweden, it was banned. What are your thoughts on this?
あの、北欧でそういうふうに、デッドライブを待っている皆さんには非常に申し訳ないなというふうには思ってます。で、我々が作ってるのは、エンターテインメント、ゲームなので、そういった、社会的な意見が出るっていうのは、しょうがないのかなというふうには思いますし、その中で、そういうことで遊べない方が出てきてしまっているのは本当に申し訳ないなというふうには思ってます。
We certainly feel bad for the players that wanted Dead or Alive in those areas and can't get a hold of it. You know, we're trying to just make entertainment. And for us, of course, different regions will have different standards, and we have to abide by those standards and live with those. So if that's the decision that was made, we... You know, of course, we'll abide by it and take that into consideration. Mm-hmm. For all the fans out there who wanted it, sorry, but you know, we respect the decision that was made for the standards for that region.
Mm. Going further on the Dead or Alive franchise, there was a live-action Dead or Alive movie a number of years back, directed by Corey Ewan. How much input did Team Ninja have on the development of that
movie?
We
had absolutely nothing to do with it. It was really just handing off everything to the movie production people, and we had no collaboration and no input into the movie at all.
Which is a shame, because he did do a movie called So Close, which was pretty good, and Dead or Alive was okay. That one was okay. Going forward with the Dead or Alive franchise, is there any plans in the future, possibly, to make an animated version?
Dead or Alive を作ることは可能ですか、考えていますか?
そうですね。今回3DSのデッドアライブっていうのがもう5年ぶりの指導で、ここから我々自身もどうやってデッドアライブを育てていこうかっていうところです。その中で、それは一つ、それも一つの選択肢だと思いますし、いろんなものでデッドアライブっていうものをより多くの人に知ってもらえるっていうのは、積極的に動いていこうかなと思ってます。
Yeah, absolutely. Dead or Alive Dimensions for us is sort of one way of portraying the story of Dead or Alive, and now looking forward for the franchise, of course we want to think about all kinds of ways for more people to come in contact with the Dead or Alive story and the Dead or Alive series. So we're trying to keep our options open, and you know, that's definitely one area that we would be interested in looking at.
Mm. If there were to be an animated Dead or Alive, Is there a particular director or company that they would like to do that? Like Shaft or Gainax or AVEC?
AVEC. もしアニメを作るしたら、何かここに作ってほしい会社とかってありますか？
今ここでそれは…じゃあ個人的な意見で言う。まあ我々自身すごくアニメみんなが好きなので、私自身が言うと開発スタッフがそこじゃないって言いそうなんで、それはぜひ忍者の中で議論してみたいと思います。
A lot of people on the team will have different ideas for that. So if we give that out now, then he's going to hear about it when he gets back to Japan.
Oh.
So we're going to, you know, this is definitely an aspect that we should talk about within the team and see the direction moving forward, what kind of direction, you know, the team would want to take it in. That being said, if fans out there have ideas, you know, feel free to tweet those and, you know, check out our Facebook page and let us know.
Since Team Ninja, the main part of Team Ninja is the team, how much input do they feel that how much individual input do they feel goes into the games? Like, how much of this game is the director and how much is the producer? That. How much
of the individual team members themselves?
Individual, yeah. How much do they feel Dead or Alive Dimensions, for example, is how much of this game do you feel is a reflection of the individual? It's kind of hard to translate out. Sorry.
Yeah. Dead or Alive Dimensions に関しては、みんなチームニンジャ、チームニンジャって言いますけど、じゃあ、個人の貢献、に関してはどんな、割合とかどれぐらいその一人の、意見が反映されているとか、そこら辺はどう思いますか？ディレクターとしてか、プロデューサーとして、そのディレクターのゲームとか、そのチームの中のこの人のゲームとか、そういうのはありましたか？
今のチームニンジャの制作スタイルは基本そのコンセプトっていうものは、プロデューサーなりディレクターが決めていますけど、それをみんなで肉付けしていくというスタイルで、キャラクターデザイナーだったり、ステージデザイナーそれぞれみんなのアイデアをこう持ち寄って制作してます。そういう意味でみんな今回そのデトロイト・ディメンションズもそういった意味で言うとスタッフの総合力で勝負したタイトルですし、これからも多分そういった作り方になると思います。
So the core concept is of course thought about and decided on by the producers and the director, but bringing that core concept to fruition and bringing that into and making that into an actual game takes a lot of people, and for Dead or Alive Dimensions there was a lot of you know, we were trying to be open to the staff itself. So the stage designers brought their ideas to the table, character designers brought their ideas to the table, and it's really a collaboration and trying to get the individual members of the team to voice their opinions and have those opinions heard by all members and really try and make the best game, make the game the best that they can as a team. As individuals, they need to bring their own ideas so that the team as a whole can make the best game as possible.
This next one will be a lot easier. With the 3DS, what do you feel is the most exciting aspect of the 3DS?
3DS の一番、期待してるとかそのワクワクする、要素とか機能は何ですか？
そうですね、やっぱり 3DS で一番その皆さんが一番驚いてもらえるのはやっぱりその 3D 機能だと思います。で、一つただしあるのは、じゃあ例えば 3D のつまんない映画と 2D の面白い映画があった場合ってみんなやっぱりちゃんと面白い映画みたいなのと同様にゲーム自身が面白くなければ 3D 化しても面白くないし、 3D だけを売りにしたゲームっていうのは決してその皆さんの満足をいただけないというふうに思ってるので、3DS っていうのは今までのゲームの遊び方プラスアルファを提供してくれるものだというふうに思っています。
Of course, the biggest Bob Factor is, of course, the 3D. Really feel that is a very, you know, unique and interesting aspect to, you know, to a new game. But that being said, if the game itself isn't fun, then 3D isn't going to help it at all. So we really needed to focus on the core gameplay and, you know, add a 3D element, you know, on top of that. So we are really trying to make the best game for the 3DS.
Mm-hmm. ストリートパスですね。
ストリートパス。
まあ僕らが作ったように今他の人と疑似的に体験できて、本当に上手い人に勝てるかもしれないとか、そういう楽しみが今入ってます。でもこれから他の会社もいろいろ作ってくると思いますが、すごく楽しみにしてますね。どう使ってくるかを。
So the director, Yohei Shimori, thinks the street pass.That's the feature he likes best. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a fighting game. We want to fight with people. And now you get a chance, just as you're walking around, to get the data from, you know, really strong people that just pop in. Like you were saying, Vanessa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got Vanessa data, and you get to fight those strong people. And, you know, maybe you can beat them. And the, you know, just the idea that you have that opportunity is, you know, that's just a great...idea for fighting games. We're sure a lot of games coming out will use Street Pass as well, and we're really looking forward to seeing how they use that feature.
Mm-hmm. Now, looking to the future, what is the most exciting aspect of the Wii U?
The Wii U の一番期待してる機能は何ですか？
まあ、我々、やっぱりコントローラーっていうのはすごく魅力的だと思いますし、それ皆さんも経験あると思いますけど、まあ、リビングルームで大きい画面を占有してテレビゲームを遊ぶっていうのは皆さんも家族の方から反乱反感を受けることも多いと思いますけども、 Wii U はそういった心配がないハード、それはすごくその実際にそのスペック表には載らない話ですけど、皆さんの家庭で多分皆さん怒ってることだと思うので、それがすごくその解消されるっていうのはものすごくハードの実は長所だというふうに捉えてます。
Of course the Wii U's new controller is going to, I guess, solve the problem that I'm sure everybody has felt when you have one TV in the living room and somebody wants to play a game and the other person wants to watch TV and you got to fight over the TV. Now you have a solution to that, and you can still be together, you know, as a family, but you can play the game right there on the new controller while someone else is using the TV. So, you know, we can't really talk about specs for the hardware right now, but that in itself is, you know, a huge problem that we think, you know, can be fixed with the new controller.
What do they feel about the name? There's been mixed reactions on the name of the Wii U. I refer to it myself as the Wii Ultra, then Wii U for short. How do they feel about it?
じゃあ名前をどう思いますか？
我々もゲームを作るときにコンセプトっていうのは大事にしますけど、すごくそのコンセプトをもうゲームのそのハード面に入れてるというふうに感じます。Wii はみんなで遊べるハードであって、その中でそれをあなただけに届けるというようなゲーム体験もできるっていうのをプラスオンするっていうので、Wii U っていうのはものすごくそのコンセプトを体現していて、私はすごく面白いタイトルだなというふうに思います。
I think it's an interesting title. You know, we always think about putting the core concept of anything that we do, you know, game or whatever, into the title. And...I really feel that they did that with the Wii U. Wii represents all of us and everybody playing together, and the U is you alone now have this, you know, gaming experience. And you put them together in that package. We think that's just a perfect name for the Wii U.
Mm. And as a final question, going forward,Any messages for the fans?
最後ですけど、ファンに対して何かメッセージはありますか？
私はデッドアライブを主に作っているディレクターなんですけども、これからもね、 客さんと遊びながらね、デッドアライブの未来を考えていきたいなと思ってますので、お楽しみにしてください。ちょっと前感じる。
So as the director for Dead or Alive right now, I'm really looking forward to fighting with everybody, all the users out there, and using those fights to think about the future of the Dead or Alive series. So I really hope that we get a chance to, you know, fight together and make this series, you know, just really blow this series up in the future.
Mm.
まあ、今回デッドアウディメンションズ発売して、まあ、直後に E3 で我々の方で忍者ガイデン3をこうやってプレイアブル出展したように、チーム忍者では今複数のタイトルが同時に開発が動いていますので、皆さんにさまざまなタイトルをこれから発表したりお届けできたりしたりすると思います。ですので、まあ、今後もぜひ我々のチーム忍者のタイトルを応援していただけたらなと思います。
So, you know, we just showed off E3, we showed off Ninja Gaiden 3 at E3, and we're here at Akon for its first public unveiling. So we have multiple titles, you know, Ninja Gaiden 3, Dead or Alive, we have multiple series, and moving forward, we hope that, you know, the fans out there will take the time to play the games and really get behind Team Ninja Games and have a lot of fun with them.
Mm.And thank you very much for this interview. And we look forward to playing the rest of your games in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And that is the last feature of our show today. This has been Radio DMG. I'm your host, Philip Wesley. And, well, before I say goodnight, I guess I should give out some shout-outs or something. Okay, you should totally check out Cross-Border Gaming and Nintendo Joe Show Go. They just celebrated their 150th show. They had H-Bomb from Cross-Border Gaming on there. He recorded them a message. That was okay. Mm-hmm. And, oh, excuse me. That was okay. It was an okay episode of Nintendo Joe Show Go. Nintendo Joe Go. Can't talk. Huh. So maybe it's a good thing that this is the last bit of the show. I think next show will probably be a little bit shorter. But we are going to have our interview, I think, it's going to be another double feature. We'll have Jeremy Lee and Monty Ewum. Monty Ewum's behind like the Halotoid things. He works with Rooster Teeth. And that's an interesting interview. And Jeremy Lee is a voice actress. Pretty interesting interview as well. Look forward to those. They should be pretty good. And then after that, we've got a really kind of long interview with Peter S. Beagle. And then some more content on the way. We'll be launching some of the new offshoots. I've been taping content for another show that will be launching on here, Holding the Bridge. So look forward to all of this. But yes, I hope you enjoyed everything there. As for technical difficulties and stuff, I noticed in the Team Ninja one, which was a really fun interview to do. Thank you again to Akon staff and all that for setting it up. It was great. You guys are great. Thank you. But I discovered that one of the members of Team Ninja, when he gets nervous or something in an interview or just out of idly, just kind of taps on the desk a little. And that's where our recording equipment is. So there's these little taps. And sorry you had to put up with that, but it's okay. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed both our interviews and our features. And we'll see you back here soon. For the next episode of Radio DMG, I am your host, Philip Wesley, and good night.
Sorry, H is for high sensitivity, L for low sensitivity.
Yeah.
It's recording right now.
What do you want me to say?
Well, let's see. Hi, my name is Philip Wesley. I'm with Radio DMG, and I'm here with my guest, Sarah Tomasi, from Radio DMG.
Woo!
Say, lean in a little closer.
I'm leaning in closer.
Okay, actually move your chair a little closer.
Really?
Just a little. Yeah, actually. Or project your voice a little. We'll find out how this sounds.
Like, how does it sound?
Well, I don't know. We'll find out in a moment.
We will.
So we'll be right back after we find that out. Go ahead and say something real quick so we can test how close I have to have this.
Okay. Test.
Just say your name or something okay.
My name is Vanessa Ortega. I'm from
Ortega.
California.
Oh, okay, so Ortega. Okay,
well, I can see we need to be very careful what we plant in our minds.
And who we listen to.
Yep. Choices. We all have to make them, and nobody else can do it for us. You don't have to listen in to everything they say.
You don't have to sing along with everything they play.
You don't have to read about everything they write.
And you don't have to watch everything that's on tonight.
You can turn the dial, walk away, close the cupboard, give to play, remembering everything you do. The choice is up to you.
Just listen to your conscience, he will tell you what to do.
He's the little voice that God has put inside of you.
And he's the one who tells you when you're doing something wrong.
So you better pay attention when he sings this little song.
You can turn the dial, walk away, close the cupboard, refuse to play, remembering everything you do. The choice is up to you.
Forward, march!
Refuse to play, there's no one else to blame but you.